And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue the weekly news review now with Cincinnati Inquirer reporter Cameron Knight. He joins us on the phone. Cameron, hello.
Hi, sir.
I'm so glad you could be with us today. Sort of a really bad story to start with. Cincinnati has seen homicides increase, according to your reporting, 131% so far this year compared to the same period of time last year. Can you put that into hard numbers for us?
Yeah, so far since January 1st of this year, we've had 27 fatal shootings. There's actually been an additional 3 homicides that did not involve guns. And of those 27 fatal shootings this year, 17 of them have occurred since Governor Mike DeWine's stay-at-home order was enacted on March 25th. So we had about 10 fatal shootings leading up to the stay-at-home order, and then we've had 17 within the past 5 weeks or so.
And to put that into context, the 17 that you note as homicides since the stay-at-home order was first introduced, that is more than the 13 people who were killed in the same period of January 1st through April 28th in 2019. So we're talking about a 6-week period of time that exceeds a 4-month period of time last year. What are you hearing from police?
Well, so there's a few different things. We normally see a increase in shootings when schools let out, when the weather gets warmer, and things like that. So that is sort of artificially been pushed forward due to, everything closing down for COVID-19. The police department has also said that there's a general lack of what they call natural surveillance. That's, I think, a fancy way to say that there are less people around to witness crime, and therefore that might embolden people to do things they wouldn't normally do because they would be afraid of getting caught. And then I've also talked to some community leaders. Pastor Ennis Tate said that he actually predicted this. He does Facebook Live videos, and when this first started with the stay-at-home order and the different things like that, he predicted that there would be an increase in gun violence. And his thought is that it's sort of trauma-induced, panic-induced crime that you have all of these people who may not have jobs anymore, may not have the same resources that they normally have. People are trapped in their homes and panicked, and that leads to erratic behavior. He also said that the being stuck inside brings out trauma in people and triggers people who, especially those who have been incarcerated.
And so Police Chief Elliot Isaac spoke at Cincinnati City Hall on Tuesday at the Law and Public Safety Committee to talk about the rise in violence. And one area that he spoke to go along with what you just referenced as sort of natural surveillance, the witnesses who might be out on the street hanging out or just sitting around who might deter some crime simply by their presence. The police department is, I guess, unable to distribute flyers that they would typically do to engage with the community. Can you talk a little bit about what Chief Isaac said?
Yeah, correct. So Chief Isaac talked about some of their normal prevention techniques. So the police department kind of has their normal investigations that they do after there's a shooting. That is all going on relatively typically. The homicide closure rate in terms of like when an arrest is made in a homicide, that rate of how many that they're making arrests on is actually a little higher than probably normal. But there's the other side of it are the things that happen before the shootings and the things the police department does to try to prevent them from happening. And that he talked about what he calls call-ins. And in those situations, they will bring a bunch of kind of, I hate to use the term, but sort of usual suspect sort of people or people who they know have connections to gangs or groups that are violent. They will call them all in and say, hey, we're just letting you know we're about to come into your neighborhood. we're going to be cracking down on this, on violent behavior, on drugs, on guns. So if you guys want to, you guys need to keep your heads down. You guys need to straighten up. And they try to kind of prevent things that way. The other things that they will do is they do these sweeps of neighborhoods. They've done one as recently as the fall, I think, in over the Rhine, where they will just send out 20, 30 officers to walk through the neighborhood over the course of an afternoon or a morning and distribute flyers to everyone they see on the streets. Saying, you know, we are watching this area. We want your information about crime, and it gives them an opportunity to talk to people on the street. Those two tactics are obviously not happening right now because they're because of the virus and the pandemic and the social distancing orders that are in place.
And we're talking with Cameron Knight, a reporter at the Cincinnati Inquirer, here on Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Cameron, in addition to the 131% increase in homicides this year in Cincinnati compared to this period of time last year, shootings in general are up 50% compared to last year, according to your reporting. There's a gunshot detection system called ShotSpotter, and this was going to be deployed in more places in the city. Can you talk a little bit about what that is and about the delay about having that go active in Westwood?
Sure. So the ShotSpotter uses a system of microphones. They're usually installed on utility poles or something like that. And it picks up the sound of gunshots. It's reportedly very good at it. It can weed out things like backfires of cars and other things like that that might sound similar. And it uses those microphones to triangulate within the size of probably like an office, you know, like a decent sized office space, where a gunshot occurred. What that allowed them to do when they first launched it in Avondale is they decided that they were going to take that information. It's all automatically done. It literally goes directly to cell phones for the police officers. Like, they get it right away. There's not a whole lot of delay or anything. What that allowed them to do was just respond to every single gunshot fire call in the area, and they found that something like between 70% and 80% of gunshots were not paired up with a 911 call. So only a fraction of the gunshot incidents that were occurring in Avondale were accompanied with a 911 call. So that allowed them to collect evidence, to be more present right after a shooting happened, to engage neighbors. It allowed them to do a whole lot of things that they weren't able to do before because they just didn't know that the shooting had happened because there was no 911 call. So that system was rolled out in Avondale, and then it was rolled out in sort of an area of that kind of sort of covers all three Price Hill neighborhoods, and it was slated to be going up in Westwood right now. Like, they were, under normal circumstances, they would have been doing the testing and the install and things at this moment. However, that has been delayed, and the chief said it was due to, sort of the restrictions in place about social distancing and everything like that, but then also there's a financial component to it as well that the chief spoke about. That basically, you know, the city government, the budget, everything like that is a little bit up in the air right now, and they delayed it in part because of finances as well.
And Cameron, let's talk a little bit more about what went down at City Hall while Chief Isaac was speaking to the Law and Public Safety Committee of City Council. It was noted that these homicides are disproportionately happening in the African-American community in this city. 19 of the victims have been Black males, and 7 were Black females, while 2 were white females. What were the responses from the council members who spoke?
Well, Jeff Pastor did say that he felt it was a community problem and that the community needed to step up and take at least some responsibility for, you know, basically he was commenting on the no snitch culture and the idea that, you know, in these neighborhoods, people don't rat other people out when something happens. And he felt like that needed to change, and that people needed to step up and start engaging with the police more. Smitherman had sort of similar, Christopher Smitherman, the vice mayor and chair of the public safety meeting that happened this week. He had similar things. He wanted the community to become more engaged. It's not that there is historically a disproportionate amount of African Americans who suffer from gun violence in Cincinnati. I don't think the statistics have been skewed due to COVID-19, but it's an ongoing problem, and there are some, including Jeff Pastor, who believe that the community needs to kind of do their part in terms of that. So there are people on the other side who believe that there's a well-earned distrust in those neighborhoods of the Cincinnati Police Department due to the past experiences that the African American community has had with them. So it's been an ongoing discussion and an ongoing kind of push back and forth in terms of what is the community's responsibility and what is the police department's responsibility.
And we're talking with Cameron Knight from the Cincinnati Inquirer. Cameron, you also had a story this week about residents at a West Price Hill public housing apartment building. They're upset because, according to your reporting, they're being forced to relocate in the midst of this pandemic. Tell us more.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a complicated story. There's a huge national backlog of public housing capital needs, basically renovations and updates that need to be done to public housing. It's in the billions of dollars nationally. The Cincinnati Metropolitan Housing Authority, which operates much of the public housing in Cincinnati, it has acknowledged this. They've said that yes, they too are suffering from this situation where they don't have enough money to do needed upgrades, needed renovations. The Housing and Urban Development Department of Housing and Urban Development at a national level developed this honestly bit convoluted program called RAD, which is basically a way for private money to get injected into the system of public housing in order to make these renovations. The program is in sort of an experimental phase right now. The federal government is hand-picking and choosing sort of which projects it wants, which agencies it wants to work with to do this sort of big experiment to see if it works. It's happened other places all over the country, and Cincinnati Metropolitan Housing Authority was chosen to do this. As part of that, there's, partnerships with private entities and all of this kind of stuff to do renovations. That's what's happening at Pinecrest, which is this 9-story apartment building, public housing apartment building in the Price Hill area over there. And they basically, this was all in progress, and then COVID-19 hit, and they said, we're going to make some delays, and they did. Cincinnati Metropolitan Housing Authority did make some delays. They pushed construction back a month. They told residents that they wouldn't have to leave as early. They're also staggering the move out of the residents as opposed to making them all go at once. Instead of it taking maybe a course of a couple weeks to move everybody out, they're going to be doing it well into June to move out these top floors. They're going to go floor by floor and do these renovations. But the residents there are just very unhappy with how everything's been handled. They claim that there have been mistakes and sort of confusion about everything, who needs to move out when, and some people have been directed to apartments that were already filled. The housing authority has said that they've corrected all these issues as they've come up, but for these residents on these floors, they do need to basically move in the midst of this pandemic. And while the Metropolitan Housing Authority has made some accommodations to kind of make things safer, there's still a lot of fear amongst these residents who now have to relocate and basically find a new place to live in the middle of all of this, which I think would be daunting for most people, let alone people of limited income and limited mobility under normal circumstances.
Well, we'll continue to follow your reporting on that. I've only got a few seconds left, but I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on this other story that you have out with your colleague at the Inquirer, Randy Tucker. Cameron, tell us about butcher shops in the pandemic. Local butcher shops are seeing their sales do well.
Yeah, they're exploding. I talked to, I'll keep it short, but I talked to Ken Wassler, who owns Wassler Meats over on the west side in Green Township, and his phrase was, every day's like Christmas. He was saying that people, because they don't want to go to the big box stores, because they don't want to deal with those crowds, they're coming and doing curbside service at his butcher shop, and that's been reported not only at Wassler Meats, but also every other place we spoke to. Fink down in Northern Kentucky said his sales were doubling or tripling every day. The flip side of that is that the meat processing industry is suffering right now, and so they're not sure how long they can keep up their supplies. But for the most part, local butcher shops are seeing a renaissance right now.
Cameron Knight is a reporter at the Cincinnati Inquirer. Cameron, always great to talk to you. Stay safe out there, and we'll look forward to having you in the studio again soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
And before we take our break, I'm going to take a quick phone call here from Herschel. Herschel, how are you? What's your question or comment?
A couple of comments. One, on the latter part on HUD, it's a program that was established, RAD, in 2012, okay? And there's a resident council, and your reporter needs to talk to the resident council. And by the way, I don't work for the government. And so the other part is on the police, when they're talking about the increase in crime, if that crime can be attributed to COVID-19, then they can use funds from the state that were allocated to the state. Okay, and in terms of the interpretation, they need to have the law department read the 880-page bill, and it's in there that allows them to do that if they have a legal interpretation. Okay, and so this is a matter of our government having lawyers who apparently don't read the law because the money of that, just like yesterday, the Federal Reserve released a program for businesses of $600 billion. You don't hear us rushing to reach to have that money.
Sorry, Herschel. Herschel, we are just about out of time on that, but we do appreciate your perspective, and thank you so much for listening and calling in. We do appreciate the call. That was Herschel. Thanks for the call, Herschel. Up next, we've been without competitive sports for weeks. But there are rumblings that Major League Baseball could take the field this summer with a different type of divisional setup. And of course, the Bengals part ways with Andy Dalton and welcome Joe Burrow as quarterback. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.